Okay, Sunday night, Monday morning, sharp money. Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher, as we are trying to get the energy up because we just watched the Chiefs beat the Giants. I don't think they're going to send this tape to Canton. The Chiefs, who were favored, yes, to still make the postseason going into this one, Samo. And again, Sunday night, sharp money, react to the games, get to the openers, and then Thursday we're back. The Chiefs, a 22-9 winner over the Giants. A couple of themes. Block field goals today. Six teams remain perfect, and six teams, including the Giants, winless as the Chiefs pick up a dub.
Yeah, a bad day for kickers all around. Really special teams. I mean, there were some nice special teams plays by a couple teams. You got to give credit for those blocked field goals. But kickers had a rough day. We saw missed extra points. We saw missed field goals, blocked field goals. We saw punt returns. We saw a little bit of everything from the kicking side. And it for the most part, was not pretty. But I don't know how much longer we can do this Russell Wilson thing. I mean, the two takeaways from tonight for me. Russell Wilson is absolutely done. I don't know why Jackson Dart's not in there. And the second one is, how bad is the Cowboys' defense? Like, they made the Bears look good today, and they got toasted by that Giants team that we watched tonight. That's a problem you got down there in Big D, because it is very small D right now.
Yeah, the Russell Wilson thing is starting to get weird, and you could tell they had given up in the last 5 minutes of that game as well tonight as we get into Monday morning. By the way, quickly on the Giants, they are going to be hosting the Chargers. We'll get to them coming up in just a little bit with a dramatic win at home here in Los Angeles over Denver. The Giants right now catching six, hosting the Chargers next Sunday.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, we got our first brutal day in Survivor. Over 20% of the Circa Survivor pool falls with a couple upsets. Going to be interested to see if people want to try the Chargers on the road next week. It's a tough travel spot. You're going cross country, but everybody just watched this Giants team on Sunday night, and I think they're going to be awfully tempted to click the Chargers button next week. So that's going to be interesting. Not surprised we opened at six here. This is one of those where the look ahead was sitting right around five or six, and now we're opening right back up at six. So I would expect you're going to see Chargers money early in the market. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people with a big appetite going back to the Giants after how well the Chargers defense have played the last couple weeks.
Yeah, the only question is it going to be Dart? Is it going to be Wilson? Will they give up on the charade? But as we do on Sharp Money, we don't play favorites. We run the board, so let's do it. 451, Samo. The Colts remain perfect as well. They beat Tennessee 41-20. Now, this is important for a few reasons. One, they broke a record, 20 offensive drives, then they finally punted. So 9 quarters of football with Daniel Jones and the Colts. The one thing I will say, as obviously easily cover the 5.5 here with the Colts, you started to see the defense step up a little bit. Tennessee was able to run the ball last week. They couldn't against this Colt defense this week. The Colts are legit, and by the way, in division, they are now your betting favorites, have been your betting favorites. They're $1.50, and I believe the Jags are 2-1.
Yeah, this could not have gone better for the Colts to start out the season if you're looking at the division pricing. You've got Houston, who probably the next best team. We'll get to them a little bit here in a second, sitting at 0-3. And so the Colts have a very nice cushion. It's the Jaguars that are most likely going to be the team chasing them. They're at 2-1. This is a Colts team that, look, man, you got to be impressed with what they're able to do with the weapons. You didn't have a big day this week from Tyler Warren, but you're still able to get your wide receivers involved. We saw Alec Pierce have a good day. We saw Pittman get into the end zone. Jonathan Taylor has 3 touchdowns. It's just a complete offense, and as long as Daniel Jones is not bad, you're going to be able to put points up with all of these weapons around him. I'm not ready to anoint the defense. I thought this was, again, another pretty weak performance from the Tennessee Titans offense with a much better opportunity for them to score. So I'm thinking the offense or the defense was more the Titans version, not necessarily the Colts defense, but still, like, the Colts may be the second best or second most efficient offense in the NFL that we have after 3 weeks.
Yeah, Jones efficient, over 70% again, completion, a touchdown, no picks. He hasn't turned the football over, which is incredible. And Taylor, along with that offensive front, they've got weapons on the outside, but that offensive line, Taylor goes over 100. He's got 3 touchdowns on the ground. He looks completely healthy. And this is an Indianapolis team all of a sudden that's legit at 3-0. They head to the Rams. We'll get to the Rams here in just a bit. Catching 4.5 in Los Angeles next week.
Yeah, interesting to see what happened here because this was 5.5, 6 in some places before the kicks this morning. We're seeing Indianapolis money come in. There's actually 3.5s already in the market as well on the Colts. So it's been a lot of Colts money that's been pouring in since the games tonight. And I get it. We'll get to that Rams game, which was wild here in a second. But it's this Colts team is for real. I mean, after 2 weeks last year, everyone was anointing the Saints as this offense. The Colts able to do it again for a third week in a row. And the difference between the Saints in the last year and the Colts this year, what the Colts are doing is very repeatable. This is a solid running game with a good offensive line, with good weapons that isn't relying on deep shots. And that's what we saw the Saints mainly relying on early in the season last year.
Yep, you nailed it. Right now, my lean would be take the points with the Colts. This is a team that's clicking right now. And, of course, maybe emotional letdown for the Rams, which we'll get to coming up here in just a bit. So, Tennessee on the other side. First off, it just Callahan, how much longer is he going to be the head coach here? Mistakes all over the place. Issues, again, with getting the play calls in. He's a disaster. My assumption is he's going to be gone soon. The Titans are going to be at the Texans. Of course, we'll get to the Texans. Winless 0-3. And the Titans are catching 7 at Houston.
Yeah, this is might be crazy to say. I think Callahan was the worst coach this weekend. When you watch not only the game, the script that he had prior to the game, where he's not getting Ridley involved early, he's not using his offensive weapons on the outside, basically trying to play a slow game with Pollard, and then the field goal decisions were absolutely mind-boggling. I don't know if you watched the late part of this first half, but they set up for a 64-yarder. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, what are we doing? They miss it, shocker. And then all of a sudden, Indy gets points going the other way. Then later in the half, in a 17-6 game, they have a 4th-and-1, and they can either kick a 57-yarder or go for it on 4th-and-1, already down 11 with your defense getting carved up. He decides to kick it. They're so disjointed, they take a delay of game penalty, pushes it back to 4th-and-6 and a 62-yarder, and you know what he does? He goes ahead and kicks it, and guess what?
He's lost.
Like, what are we doing, man? Like, how are we not going for that? Like, that should be an immediate go-for-it situation. And then, take a timeout. You have 2 timeouts. There's barely any time left in the first half.
Nope.
Just avoid the delay of game. Like, there's so many ways he could have handled that better. He just doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. And I realize Dable was awful tonight, and I've been very negative on Mike McDaniel down in Miami. Callahan gets the gold medal for bad coaching today.
He's completely overwhelmed. He's in over his head, and his dad's on staff too, but that Callahan situation has to go. 453. Now, this is interesting because I heard people were using, and you might have the percentages from the VSiN contest show last night. I heard people were using Atlanta today in Survivor. I hope not, because they went to Carolina, got shut out. Cousins came into the game. Obviously, Carolina covers. They were catching 4.5, 5. It's a 30-0 blank job by the Panthers.
Yeah, the Falcons were the 8th selection in millions, with over 17.7% of the people taking the Falcons -5.5 in millions. And they were the 5th choice in Survivor, with 1,179 people, 7% of the pool, knocked out, taking the Falcons. And I got to tell you, we've had sweats early in the week. We're going to talk about a couple sweats a little bit later that happened this week in week 3. This wasn't a sweat. This was
no.
A beatdown. And Michael Penix Jr., was awful in this game. Mm-hmm. He was absolutely atrocious at the quarterback position. We saw, you mentioned Cousins coming in late. We'll see what happens. But if Penix does not improve quickly, I think the Michael Penix Jr. experiment may get pulled back a little bit. We may see Kirk Cousins come in for multiple weeks to see if you can calm Penix down, figure out what's going on there, and give Kirk Cousins, who is now 1.5 years off of that Achilles injury, an opportunity to see what he can do with this offense. Because again, another very talented offense that just has problems at the trigger position there at quarterback.
Yeah, a couple out routes where the defender just jumped it for Carolina on Penix, just completely telegraphing the throws. They were never in this. I think he laid it out perfectly. Was never a sweat. Carolina was in a desperate spot in division at home. We took the points last week when we were talking about it. Atlanta and Raheem Morris also the team was just not prepared, coming off a very good performance, you know, field goals they settled, a very good performance against Minnesota last week as well. Atlanta is going to head home, and here comes the Commanders. My assumption would be Samo, it's going to be Jaden Daniels, but if not, Mariota seems fine, and Washington will lay 3 at Atlanta.
Yeah, we've talked about backup quarterbacks the last couple weeks and what happens in San Francisco with Mac Jones, and talked about taking San Francisco last Thursday and laying the points because Mac Jones is not that big of a downgrade when you're playing the Saints. We talked about it this week that, hey, I don't really care who the quarterback is for Washington. The spot is so bad for the Raiders that I'm happy to jump in there. And Mariota has been in this offense for 2 years. He is a Jaden Daniels light, not as talented, can't run as well,
right?
But he understands how to manage and operate an offense, and that's exactly what we saw today. You don't do too much. You take advantage of the opportunities that you're given, and you execute when you need to execute. That's the type of backup that you want in this league when you have one of these top-tier quarterbacks in front of them. And I thought that he came in and played very well in this game. I thought the Raiders looked like the more tired team. We talked about the massive rest advantage here, Washington off Thursday, the Raiders off a late Monday night game. That is very hard to do. We've seen those teams consistently lose, the teams with less rest in this spot over the last couple years in the NFL. I thought that played a very big role in this. I'm interested to see what happens here with the Raiders specifically, because the market is going to be very down on the Raiders. I'm not sure that we should just automatically be so negative on this Raiders team. And they take on the Bears next week, and we saw the lines adjust here with the Bears going from 1.5 to 2.5-point underdogs to being a point favorites in some places off of today's results.
Yep. And the Commanders, Falcons, my early lean would be that 45.5 target, the over. This was not indicative of a good Carolina defense today. This was Atlanta, as flat as you could possibly be. And we'll get to Washington here in just a bit. Carolina, on the other hand, Samo heads to New England, and the Patriots are laying 4.5.
I mean, I can't lay 4.5 with this Patriots team.
No.
This is the funny part. We talked about this Steelers-Patriots game last week and how I just didn't want to deal with this game. I wanted to shoot it into the moon. Like, this was not a game I wanted to bet. This was one of the more dominant games of the weekend, where if you look at the stat box, New England absolutely owned Pittsburgh. It was turnovers that made the difference for Pittsburgh. Five of them from New England. It ends up picking the end zone, a fumble at the goal line. It's a lot of things that went wrong, but New England moved the football consistently. They just need to hold on to the football. Man, this is another game where, like, I'm tempted to take the points with Carolina, but I think New England's going to move the football. I would almost rather lean to the over here in this spot.
You know, New England, every time I looked up, were fumbling the football. Vrabel is going to go absolutely nuts at practice this week. A million fumbles, or they should have easily beat Pittsburgh today. We'll get to them in just a little bit. 4:55 here, sharp money on your board. Sunday night into Monday morning, taking a look and reacting to week 3. Vegas at Washington. I mean, Vegas showed fight. It's a 41-24 winner here for Washington. They cover the 3, ends up closing 3 with Mariota. Obviously soars over the total.
Yeah, look, I thought that Vegas played about as good as you could. I mean, we talked about the rest disadvantage a little bit earlier. I just don't think people understand how hard it is to overcome that and to be able to come back from having to play a game on Monday night 5 days prior and taking on a team that's been preparing for you for 10 days. And, oh, by the way, you also have to go on the road to do it. And so I didn't have high expectations for the Raiders in this game. I thought Geno Smith looked a lot better than he did on Monday mm-hmm. night. I thought Ashton Jeanty looked a lot better than he did on Monday night. But their defense was cooked. I mean, that's all it was. That's why we saw the 41 points. They just could not stop the Commanders any way, shape, or form here. They had a field day on the ground. We saw a 60-yard run, a 20-yard run from Mariota. Both Mariota and McNichols get into the end zone. McLaurin goes for 74 yards in this spot. It wasn't really turnovers that cost this Raiders team. It was just the Commanders' offense being efficient, being able to move the football. They put up 400 yards of total offense and get a fairly easy W here over the Raiders. I wouldn't run to upgrade Washington. I wouldn't run to downgrade the Raiders off of this performance because of the rest.
Yeah, we might run to upgrade that Chargers defense even a little bit more because of what the Chargers defense, just the quandary they put Vegas in. Vegas showed explosiveness. They had guys get open. They did what they could do offensively. They were in an impossible spot. As far as the rest, you're 100% right. So Washington at the Falcons, it's 3 with the Commanders laying it. And we take a look. Vegas, you mentioned it just a little bit ago. Vegas is hosting the Bears, and the Bears are now officially a 1.5 favorite.
Yeah, crazy the move we've seen. It's basically a 4-point move. Now, we did go through 0, so it's not as valuable of a move as if we had gone through a key number like 3 or gone through 6 or 7. You're just basically flipping favorites. But it does allow you to decide if you want to tease the Raiders. You can now do that. I'm not sure we just say, hey, this is a fixed Bears defense after playing the Cowboys today. Like, the Cowboys, not the best running game out there. We see them lose CeeDee Lamb early. That's very difficult for an offense to be able to rebound off of a loss. I would much rather take the points now that we have the opportunity here with the Raiders. So I do think I have a decent shot at a bounce back game against Chicago, and they'll be at home, which I think is a positive for them as well. You also have the Bears coming off of a win and the Raiders coming off of two losses. You'd expect to have a pretty hungry Las Vegas team here. So it would be Raiders or pass for me at the current. And I'd love to get a three in this. I don't know if we ever get there. I'd be surprised if we get there, but man, I would love to take a three here, and I'm happy to tease up the Raiders.
Yeah, overreaction to – we'll get to the Bears in a little bit. I take the points with the Raiders right now on Sunday evening into Monday morning. Down goes Survivor and Green Bay, your team, Mike Somich, 457. Now, this is crazy. You know, Green Bay could never really get anything going, but the first thing you start with when talking about the Browns is how great the defense is. So you have to give them credit there. And there was a blocked field goal. Green Bay had an opportunity. And then Cleveland, with seconds ticking off, they come back and kick a field goal to win it 13-10. Obviously, this close, 7.5. I believe 7.
There were 7 and 7.5s in the market.
Okay, so obviously Cleveland with the outright 13-10 winner over Green Bay.
Yeah, this was a crazy game, Patrick. I thought the Cleveland defense was awesome. I thought that you really noticed the injury issues you have on the Packers offense. It did not feel like they could move the football efficiently with the wide receivers that were in the game. We saw them take Bo Milton, who was a wide receiver for them, that they moved to cornerback. They put him back on offense at wide receiver, just kind of to show you the issues that they feel like they are having there at that position. And we saw the offensive line really crumble under the pressure that Cleveland was able to possess. And all of that being said, this was a 10-0 game in favor of Green Bay with less than 4 minutes in the football game. And then the wheels kind of fell off. I thought the Green Bay defense actually played very well in this game. We saw the Cleveland offense have what felt like 14 plays inside the 10-yard line on a ridiculous number of pass interferences in the end zone. They end up taking a penalty, get pushed back, have to kick a field goal from the 17 to cut it to 10-3. And then you see a Jordan Love interception off a pass that hit or off someone hitting his hand that then gets returned to the 2-yard line. Very little the defense can do there. All of a sudden it's 10-10. I liked the response from the Packers. They drive down, and then we have one of these blocked field goals that drastically adjusted the game. This one did not get returned for a touchdown, but did get returned to close to the 50-yard line, where the Browns were essentially able to push it into field goal range and kick a game winner. This is a tough one to grade out, because I thought that we got everything we could have possibly wanted from the Packers defense, and they kind of got a bad result here. They could have easily shut out the Browns in this game, had a couple things gone a little bit different for them. They could have also gotten a little more from their offense. And this that's where I was a little disappointed in this Packers team, is that you didn't see any explosives. One of the things we talked about after week one, after week two, was how they were stretching the field. How were they pushing the ball down the field? They did not do that today.
Mm-mm.
Didn't see them taking shots and really putting pressure on the outside here. And I think a lot of that was the offensive line. They were missing two offensive linemen. They need to get healthy on the offensive side. This was also the best defense in the NFL right now. Ranked number one in DVOA, number one in total defense heading into this game. That's not going to change heading out of it. So I thought that this was a little bit of a bad spot for the Packers, but they still played pretty well. I'm not going to downgrade Green Bay, but I am going to keep a close eye on the injury report, because they need to get healthy if they want to be able to compete with a defense like this.
Well, Cleveland, I mean, you could not run the ball. Jacobs under 2 yards a carry, can't come off the run, take big shots down the field. Cleveland's defense is freaking legit. It almost felt a little, I don't even want to say flat from the Packers, because like you said, the defense played great. The late pick from Love, not great. And almost like, you know, obviously the block kick. I'll tell you one thing. I think Cleveland is in one of the better spots possible next week. They travel to Detroit, and they're catching 8.5. I love the Browns, because Detroit is going to get – they're going to beat up the Ravens and get beat up tomorrow night, which we'll finish the program with, and then, of course, head back home to take on Cleveland on short rest.
Yeah, we always talk about, if you want to bet the game featuring Monday night teams in the following week, you want to bet against the team playing on Monday night, because you have the injury risk for that team on Monday night. And rarely do you see a large adjustment to the positive off of a Monday night performance. So I agree with you. I think you take the Browns right now if you want the points in that game. And then you hope that, hey, maybe we see what I expect, which is a Baltimore beatdown. And we'll talk about that game in nauseam toward the end of this show. But I am very impressed with what we've seen from the Browns. And I want to see the rookie quarterbacks, because this Flacco thing just isn't doing it for me.
No.
But if you look at what this defense has done through 3 weeks now, they take on Cincinnati with a healthy Burrow and a high-powered offense and hold them to 7 yards in the second half. They lose that game because of the field goal, because the missed field goal, missed extra point. And then you see them play what I thought was a very good game against the Baltimore Ravens until the wheels fell off. Right, that was a 10-3 game at half. They were very much in it.
Yep.
And then it just got it turned into a blowout. So this is a defense that's now played three very good offenses and had five of the six halves go very well for them. They will also be a great test for this Detroit offensive line, which we've talked about. Can they withstand the just onslaught that you are going to get from this Cleveland pass rush for 60 minutes?
Yeah, Flacco is the weak link. Judkins, the rookie, Ohio State, was awesome on the ground today. But Flacco, they don't trust him. He's not doing anything as far as stretching the field. 3.9 yards per attempt. 21 completions for a 142 for Flacco. Come on. You got a great defense. You got some young talent on offense. Let's see what the young kids can do. So we mentioned Cleveland, great spot, 8.5 on Sunday night. Love that number. Next one is going to be, obviously, Dallas is going to host the Packers. We just saw that being promoted a million times. And I believe the Packers are laying 5.5 here.
Yeah, this is another interesting game. We've got that the Sunday night football. It was 5.5 on the look ahead. We reopened here at 5, maybe some sixes in the market as well. So there's a 5.5 over at DraftKings, 6.5 pretty much everywhere else, including Caesars.
Wow.
There's sixes at Caesars, 6.5 at BetMGM. So the money has moved toward the Green Bay Packers. I think the majority of this movement is off of two things. Diggs got injured at one point in that game with a neck stinger. We'll see if he's able to go. And then CeeDee Lamb, who exits the game after two plays. This is another one, Patrick. Why in the world is CeeDee Lamb running the football?
I don't know.
What are we doing? Do you go use your running backs. Having CeeDee Lamb get a touch through the run when you have a bad secondary who's missing their key piece with Chicago is nuts to me. He hurts his ankle, tries to give it a go, comes in the game for one play, goes in motion and can't even finish the motion in the full route. He ends up on the sideline, did not look good. We'll see how long that injury is. But he is worth a point to this Dallas team. You saw that Dak and Pickens did not have that connection like CeeDee Lamb and Dak have. We saw Ferguson have a big game because of the exit of CeeDee Lamb. I think that is why we're seeing this adjustment more than anything else, because I don't feel like we learned that much with the Packers or with the Cowboys today. It feels like we kind of got the efforts that you would expect considering the pieces that were missing on both of those teams.
Yeah, biggest news, CeeDee Lamb, when you're listening to this, will be getting an MRI on the foot. So most important as far as next week with the 5.5 Packers at Dallas, obviously Parsons in the mix, but Lamb, keep an eye on the injury report. That's the biggest one right now, because you saw the difference in the offense once Lamb went out, just not as diverse, obviously, without their best player. That being the Cowboys. And we'll get to them in just a bit. But right now, 459, Cincinnati, Minnesota. Ends up closing 3 with Minnesota laying it. No problem. 48-10. And the big story here is Isaiah Rodgers, who forced 3 turnovers and scored 2 touchdowns, the cornerback there for Minnesota.
Yeah, I was against the Minnesota defense in both of my fantasy football leagues. That was not fun, because you're like, wait a second. Who put up 36? No, it was basically Isaiah Rodgers by himself. This is an interesting one. I can't wait to go back and watch this. There were two games today where it felt like they got out of hand so quickly you can't really judge kind of what happened. This was that one of those two games where you have 2 defensive scores in the first half. You go to half, I think it was 31-3 at half, something disgusting like that. Just an absolute beatdown in the first half. And not necessarily because Carson Wentz was tearing up this defense. It was the pick six. It was the fumble six. It was the turnovers. It was the consistent pressure that we were seeing from this Vikings team on Browning, who was awful in this game. They had a very good plan for Ja'Marr Chase coming in here. He was held down for the majority of the first half. He had 4 targets for 3 receptions and 4 yards at one point in this game. Able to get it going a little bit. Ended up with 5 for 50. But I am not going to I mean, I'm going to downgrade the Bengals. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not going to completely bash the Bengals off of this.
Because it got away from them.
This was
It got away from them. No, the defensive scores, and once it's like the rhythm of the game just completely Cincinnati lost it. Wentz did nothing. Mason ran the ball well for Minnesota, which is key without the starter in there. But Wentz, you know, 14 completions on 20 attempts, 2 touchdowns. They just protected him. But this was one of the weirder games, a 48-10 where it was just never – Cincinnati wasn't even in the mix. Let me jump to the games now. Cincinnati, quickly, Minnesota's going to be at Pittsburgh. You see the number here. Minnesota's laying 1.5 at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that's makes me want to take Minnesota. Like, I don't know who's – I'm not sure who's more washed, Carson Wentz or Aaron Rodgers at this point, Patrick. We have not got we'll talk about this one ad nauseum when we get through that Patriots game against Pittsburgh, because that's one of those where it's just like, man, the wrong team won that football game.
Pittsburgh was horrible in the game. Cincinnati, by the way, 7.5. They're catching 7.5 at the Broncos on the 29th. So Monday, we do have a doubleheader. Okay, so yeah, you got the Jets and Dolphins, which we'll get to. Bengals and Broncos at 7.5 with the Broncos laying it.
Man, when the NFL scheduled this, you think they were expecting to have an 0-3 Jets team against an 0-3 Denver team, and then you have a Bengals team with no Joe Burrow against a Broncos team that's 1-2 and kind of floundering right now.
Yeah, I mean, right.
A brutal set for Monday night there on the two primetime games. This Bengals Broncos game was 6.5 before kickoff, so everyone saw that Bengals performance. There's a 1-point adjustment in the market. I don't think anyone really moved the Broncos very much. We'll talk about them and the Chargers a little bit later, but they kind of played to expectation. The Chargers kicked that game-winning field goal late, so I'm not sure you can really adjust the Broncos too much. I think it's a downgrade off the Bengals because of what we saw from them, and it was the pass rush and the scheme that really got to them early in this game. The Broncos kind of have both those things, Patrick. I think
they do.
Be another rough day for Browning.
Well, the Rams lost at Philly 33-26. I guess that's the story. Let's move on. No, it was a brutal loss, obviously, on the blocked field goal. The Rams, an attempt with a walk-off to win it at Philly. They were up 19 in the second half. Philly comes all the way back. And then a cover as the big man scoops it and scores for Philly as time expires. He didn't even have to. He could have just fell on the ball. The game's over. It doesn't matter as it's 33-26. Unbelievable win here for Philly.
Yeah, pretty crazy, Patrick. It was 26-7 with 14 minutes left in the third quarter here. 4 straight touchdowns by the Eagles. I Jordan Davis, big man, was always rumbling with that football, man. He blocked the kick. He scoops it. It's a number 90, 300-plus pounder who had to wind sprint 60 yards. He's never going down. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's his first NFL touchdown and probably his last as well. So you got to go and take the opportunity when you got it. The Rams blew this game in the first half. They should have been up way more than they were. They were consistently moving the ball against this Eagles defense and got down and settled for field goals time and time again. Couldn't put this one away. Really step on the throat here in that second quarter where they settled for 3 field goals in that second quarter alone. To me, that was the difference. If you look at the total yards, it was 356 to 288 in favor of the Rams. First downs was 22-19 in favor of the Rams. Big difference on fourth down with these tush pushes. The Eagles go 4-for-5. The Rams go 0-for-1. The Eagles don't get called for a false start on a tush push on a 4th and 1 that they clearly should have gotten called. That results in a touchdown for them early in this game. But to me, the Rams lost this game early on.
I agree.
I thought the drive at the end was a very good drive. And look, it's one of the worst beats I've ever seen from a gambling perspective. I don't think I can remember
brutal.
One. Like, you got the pitchy woo-woos and all this kind of stuff. You never think a blocked field goal return for a touchdown is going to happen. And you thought you were cashing that for at least 58 minutes of that game because the Rams dominated that first half. They were in total control in the third quarter. And they just, I don't want to say they blew it because I think the Eagles did play well, but they couldn't put the game away at any point. They could not score after they took that big lead.
I take positives away from the Rams, though. The Rams are a Super Bowl contender. That's the way I'd put it. Philadelphia and A.J. Brown kind of got going in the second half. Philly was as bad as they could possibly be in that first half.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you said. The Rams probably could have capitalized more in the first half. They didn't. The champs came back in the second and won it. But you have an opportunity as a dog outright with a field goal to then not even cover on the same play was one of the crazier swings we've seen.
I cannot remember a game like that.
Insane.
We saw the safety game on Saturday with Oklahoma and Auburn where Oklahoma covers on a safety late in the game. We've seen that before. We've seen the punter run out of the end zone. That made football sense why the punter ran out of the end zone. And Auburn was trying to push the ball downfield. I understood why they were doing what they were doing. You never expect that this is going to be the result. When your team that you're plus 3.5 with is lining up for a game-winning field goal, that it's going to be a 6 the other way, and you're going to end up not covering. Again, if you had the Rams, it was absolutely a brutal beat. If you had both Oklahoma and Philadelphia, go buy all the lotto tickets in the world because that's just two incredible wins in back-to-back days.
That was the big guy rumble. It reminded me of Leon Lett back in the day, except he didn't drop the ball. Remember? With Jordan Davis, who's a freak. Who's a freak. Davis is a freak athlete. He's their best defender. Colts Rams. I'll say this. It's 4.5. What was the look ahead? What were we looking last night? Colts Rams.
So the look ahead on the Colts Rams game was 5.5 at DraftKings, basically painted 4.5 everywhere else. The total was between 46.5 and 47.5. So pretty widespread on the total. First blush for me, I kind of want to get the 47.5 that's sitting available right now at both Play MGM and at DraftKings. It's 48 flat or 48.5 everywhere else. I do like the over in this spot, Patrick. I think the Rams offense is the best version of any offense that's faced this Colts defense so far. And I think the Colts are going to be able to move the football against almost anybody at this point. We saw them do it against Denver. We saw them put up 41 today. I think this is a Colts offense that's going to continue to score points. I think the Rams can answer them. So I like the over at 47.5, only available in two places. So I would go bet it as soon as you hear this. The 48 is a key number in total. So you can get a 47.5 at DraftKings and a 47.5 at Play MGM. Let's go over in the Rams-Colts game.
Yeah, I like that, Samo. I think that's going to get bet up. And then Philly heads down to Tampa, and you may have a different number. You can give me the look ahead as well, but the Eagles laying 2.5 at the Bucs.
Yeah, this is one where we saw 2.5. There were some threes in the market. So DraftKings was 2.5. Everywhere else was painted three with a 45 or 45.5 total on the look ahead. We come back today, and it is basically 2.5 at a couple books now with heavy juice toward the Eagles and threes on the Bucks. The total still sitting there at 45 or 45.5. I need to see the injury report for the Bucks.
Yeah.
Again. I mean, this offensive line is toast. Now, you may get Wirfs back. You may get Godwin back. Neither was put on the PUP list, which meant that you were going to miss 4 weeks. So the plan was for them to play sometime in the first 4 weeks. Well, next week is week 4, Patrick. So you'd think that you were getting Godwin and Wirfs back. That's something you have to pay a lot of attention to. The number of penalties on this Bucs offensive line for holdings, for false starts early in this game was asinine. I mean, it was ridiculous how many flags were being thrown here. I need to see a semi-healthy Bucs offensive line if I want any interest in backing them. I would almost be tempted to go take the 2.5 with the Eagles now and lay it and just say, okay, let's see if this plays out. And if it plays out, I can buy myself off the number. But there's a lot of ways this goes bad, and this number's 3.5 by the time we kick.
2.5's a gift. Even if they're getting healthier, the Bucs, that was enough to squeak past the Jets today. If they're any semblance of banged up like they were today, 2.5 is a wonderful number with the Philadelphia Eagles. Revenge in mind, too. They've gone down there and lost in the postseason over the past few years.
One thing I do want to mention, we've played the under on the running back playing the Bucs the last 2 weeks. It was Nick Chubb at 51.5 2 weeks ago. That went under. It was Bryce Hall this week at 60.5. He had 21 yards on the ground, averaged 2.3 yards a carry. What the Eagles offense can do with Saquon Barkley against this Bucs run defense is going to be a big story in that game, because if the Eagles can run the ball, the Bucs are in trouble.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Love the 2.5 as we sit here on Sunday night into Monday morning. Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. Let's keep rolling. 463. So this game was drunk. Pittsburgh at New England, and Pittsburgh with a 21-14 winner. It just comes down to the turnover margin. You mentioned it earlier. Five turnovers every time you looked. The Patriots were fumbling the football. They outgained Pittsburgh 369-203.
Yeah, it wasn't just the turnovers. It was where the turnovers happened.
End zone?
At the end of the first half, Drake May throws an interception in the end zone. You've got a fumble at the half-yard line as they're mm-hmm. headed in on a running play as well.
Stevenson?
Stevenson fumbled there. There was another fumble that happened. You also have the first touchdown for the Steelers came off a fumble, so that was only a 54-yard drive. They did have a full touchdown drive in the second quarter, but it was just like – it was brutal. And guess what? The last Steelers touchdown came off of a fumble from the Patriots as well. That ended up being a 62-yard drive. So this was never a Pittsburgh offense that was put into negative game states. I was very unimpressed with what they were able to do offensively. Rodgers ends the game 16 for 23 for 139 yards. Jalen Warren, despite having a couple really good runs, ends 18 for 47, just 2.6. DK Metcalf ends with 32 yards. I mean, this is just a mess of a Pittsburgh
terrible
offense. And the defense wasn't good. Here's the thing. I don't want to say they created all these turnovers. The ball security was pathetic from the Patriots. Like, what are we doing? The pick was terrible by Drake May in the end zone. The fumble on the one was awful. Drake May's fumble was just inexcusable as well. It's not like you're getting these blow-up strip sacks or you're getting tip ball interceptions off hitting the quarterback's arm. These are bad decisions and bad football plays by the Patriots that they're turning the football over. So I want to bet against this Pittsburgh team. I do not believe in this Pittsburgh team in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to take a look at the season win total once that gets reposted and see if I can get an under on Pittsburgh as well, because this feels like a fraudulent football team.
We should mention Minnesota at Pittsburgh. That's going to be in Dublin. The under 41.5 in this matchup.
Yeah, we've also seen coaches struggle going overseas for the first time. Well, I guess we're now seeing New England go over there. Yeah, so you're right. It's 41.5 over there. The fact that Pittsburgh's not the home team, that that's a neutral site game, and they're still a 2-point favorite over the Vikings, feels a little weird. I'm Vikings are past there, and I will say this too. We talked about Patriots teasers this week. Vikings teasers next week. Give me 8 with the Vikings and find a friend, because that feels like a very good teaser leg.
I agree. Go up. The Patriots should not be laying 4.5. I don't care if it's Carolina. I don't care if it's New Orleans. Right now, it's a sloppy young team. Vrabel's going to be in their ass this week. We know they're not going to turn the ball over 5 times, but I'm not laying 4.5. Give me the 4.5 with Carolina.
Yeah, this feels so. This was originally 6 and 5.5 in places before the look ahead. We saw this adjust down to that 4.5 number that you mentioned. That's painted across the board. Total sitting at 44.
You gonna lay 4.5?
No, I'm not gonna lay the 4.5. I wouldn't play either side at 4.5. It would be dog or pass. But I'm not gonna run to the window with Carolina at 4.5 because I kind of want to upgrade New England off this game.
Really?
I feel like they dominated this football game and made some bonehead mistakes. And I trust that Vrabel will be like, hey, gentlemen, don't do that shit again. Don't fumble at the one. Don't throw these stupid interceptions. Preserve points and don't put our defense in bad positions where it's hard for them to preserve points for us. I kind of like the over, man. That was where it's sitting at 44. This is a Patriots team that can move the football. This is a Carolina offense that I was higher on going into the season. Let's see what happens in the offensive line for Carolina on the injury front, but it would be an over a pass for me if I was going
to. O-line, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the O-line today, Carolina, and we can talk about them, they played really well against an Atlanta front that was awesome against a really good Minnesota offensive front. So you got to give Carolina a little credit there.
Yeah, you do. And they were missing two pieces that went under the IR. I think that what we might have seen, and this, we need more data points. That's the really tough part about doing this in week 3 into week 4 is we have 3 data points, right? And there are all these different moving pieces inside these data points. That Vikings game, J.J. McCarthy just looked a beat slow. He looked like he was holding the football for not even a half, but about a half second too long, right? You also didn't have Darrisaw at the left tackle. You lost your center in game. You lost your guard in game. That defensive line or offensive line for Minnesota was absolutely compromised. And on top of it, you had a rookie quarterback who wasn't processing at the proper rate to be an NFL starter. I think that may have boosted our belief that this was an Atlanta front that is better than where it could be at the end of the season. Because this is an Atlanta team that took four players in the first two rounds of the draft to try and make their defense better. It's hard to believe in 2 weeks it just flipped like that. So I want to see a little bit more from Atlanta before I believe this defense is as good as it was against Minnesota.
This is 2 weeks in a row New England's involved in a game where it's just kind of really drunk, mistakes coming back and forth. 5 weeks from now, New England's going to be a very good football team. They're going to get better as the year progresses.
I think they're a year away. But I this is one of those teams where you see the upside. You see the pieces.
You do.
Like, nope. I could see how this is a good football team.
May's legit. Yep. May's legit. Yeah. I would agree.
It's going to take some time. And the roster's not great. And they just need to work out some of these issues that come from a really bad coaching staff that they had the last 2 years up there in New England.
465, the Jets, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay 29-27. Lucky to get a W here. Obviously, Baker with more histrionics, I should say. 6.5. So this did get bet down. Remember, last Sunday we're here with 7.5. Ends up closing blanket everywhere, 6.5. Tampa lucky to get out of here with a win, 29-27.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, this is one of those weird games again where, like, they
come back late. You're right.
Yeah, they drastically outgained the Jets, 347 to 267. Both of these offensive lines were an absolute mess. 14 penalties for 124 yards on the Bucs, a lot of those on the offensive line. They go 1-for-5 in the red zone. Had they lost this game, that is the thing that you would have pointed to, is the red zone struggles. And again, a lot of that was offensive line struggles for this Bucs team. They had this game in complete control. It was 23-6. And then the shenanigans kind of started here, right? Where you get a fourth quarter touchdown with 10 minutes in the game left to cut it to 23-10. And after that, the wheels just kind of slowly fell apart for this Bucs team, because you go down, you do get a field goal, but you give up a touchdown right back. You get back into field goal range. You have the block field goal, gets returned for a touchdown. All of a sudden, you're losing. And a great final drive. This is the third straight game the Bucs have pulled it out in the final minute. You got to give Baker some credit for that. You got to like a team that's showing that kind of heart. But they need to get healthy stat, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they do.
This is a team that is not deep, and they have a lot of pieces that are missing. So they're you have to watch the injury report. Do we get Wirfs back? Do we get Godwin back? Do we get any of the pieces on the offensive line back? What's the plan here? Because they had zero offensive linemen playing in the position that they were planned for in week one.
The Bucs stay home, hopefully get healthy, but I love the 2.5 right now. We already talked about it with the Eagles laying it.
Yeah, I lay the 2.5 with the Eagles, and then if you don't like it later in the week or if it doesn't go through 3, you buy it back. I don't think you're going to see these juice 2.5s last very long until we get a positive injury update from the Bucs.
I thought the Jets are bad, to be very clear, but I thought Tyrod Taylor was an upgrade. He was running the football. He was fine in the game. I'll tell you right now, that Monday night game, I do like the Dolphins. It's 2.5.
Yeah, he was fine.
Fine.
Yeah. I mean, look, Justin Fields is fine too, right? It's not like either of these quarterbacks are going to move heaven and earth for you.
2.5 on the Dolphins.
I know. I'm staring at it. I
is it different anywhere else? There's no threes.
There's some threes. So you can catch 3 at a couple places in a far, far off land if you want to look for those. Or you can play 2.5s that are available here in the States on the Dolphins. I want to rewatch this Jets game. I want to go back and look at this and see. The thing is all of these penalties and the offensive line issues that you had on Tampa make the Jets look better than they probably were in this game. Tampa going 1-for-5 in the red zone makes you believe the Jets were probably a little better than they were in this game. The fact that 3 of their touchdowns, which were, oh, by the way, all of their touchdowns came in the fourth quarter, makes the Jets look a little better than they probably were in this game. So I understand where you're coming from. You got Miami off longer rest. It's a game down there in South Florida.
It's a good spot.
It's a good spot for them, and this is probably a bad Jets team. Yeah, okay. 30-minute conversation there, and I'm talked into this.
2.5.
Yeah, 2.5.
You can take the 3 if you like the Jets. By the way, Tampa 14 penalties today in a win.
7 yards.
That's incredible. That is disgusting. Bulls must be losing his freaking mind. Speaking of losing your mind, 467 Houston and Jacksonville. So Jacksonville covers the number, 17-10 winner. Yikes. Let's just say this. The Texans were fine against the Rams. They were fine against the Bucks. They were not fine today against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Stroud had a couple of gross picks. He threw for 204 yards. This offense is a disaster.
Remember what we called the Texans on last Thursday's show? A generational underteam. I am sticking with that because this team needs to be lined in the 30s stat. Like that, this is just a dead under team right now because their offense is awful. It is awful, Patrick.
Horrible.
The only touchdown they scored was a 50-yard pass to Nico Collins where nobody covered Nico Collins. Just complete blown coverage.
Yeah, busted coverage. Yeah.
So just running wide open down the field. That's their touchdown. They got in back into the red zone. They get picked. They get into the red zone. There's a fumble from Nico. This is just an offense that cannot execute down in and down out. And the offensive line is so bad that you don't have those deep shot abilities when someone decides to run with Nico Collins to take them. So it's just in the running back position. Is anyone really excited about Meeks or Chubb? Like, no, this isn't.
And it's in Stroud's head, by the way, that line, completely in his head.
I mean, we're not going full like Sam Darnold, I'm seeing ghosts, but you can see that he is starting to peel out of that pocket a little bit earlier than he probably needs to.
He
doesn't want to step up. He steps back instead. That creates bigger issues on that offensive line. He ends the day with one touchdown on the blown coverage and two interceptions. I'm just going to play a lot of unders on this Texas.
It starts with a four. Tennessee is at Houston. It's 40.5. Auto fire. Under. Yeah.
Just go ahead and roll it. And the crazy thing, this was 40.5 on the look ahead. Like, no adjustment to the under?
Right, nothing.
Like, come on. What are we doing here? I guess that's not totally true. There are 39.5s in the market.
If you can find a 40.5,
only 40.5 is sitting at DraftKings. So if you got a DraftKings account and you're hearing this, go play 40.5 on the under there in Tennessee and Houston.
Okay, covering Trevor Lawrence is Stroud in Houston. Lawrence was awful in this football game. The regression is real. Jacksonville is not a very good football team. Just taking a look real quick, they're going to be at San Francisco, 4.5 for San Francisco, 45.5 on the total. Lawrence completed 50% of his passes, had a gross pick, missing guys all over the place. The one big completion was to Brian Thomas Jr. late, which actually ends up winning it for him. I'll just full stop. Lawrence was bad.
He was terrible in this game. And he was gifted some very short fields as well. Like, because the Texans were doing nothing, they were consistently getting the ball between the 40s.
Yep.
And then going three and out and airmailing people in the red zone, throwing picks, just turning the ball over on downs twice. It was just a mess for this Jaguars team. Yeah, you're playing the Texans. But if you get the ball at the plus side or the 40-40 consistently, you should at least be attempting field goals. These two teams combine 8 for 30. Both going 4 for 15 on third down. I would lay it with San Francisco. This is going to be the third week in a row I'm betting San Francisco with a bat. I don't care who the quarterback is. I don't care if Mac Jones' ankle doesn't work anymore because that got busted up today. Lay it with the Niners here. I think this team is complete fraud.
4.5 feels like a gift. Next, Denver, 469 at the Chargers. The Chargers with a drive late to win it 23-20. Did it close 2.5? Yeah, close 2.5. So the Chargers do cover. Mike, there's a conversation to be had here, and that is Bo Nix and the Denver offense, who are 2 of 13 on third downs, and Nix was awful in the football game. Just to continue the thread, Stroud, Lawrence, Nix bad in this football game. I thought Denver's defense was the reason they hung around. We can get to the Chargers. Let's start with the Broncos.
I think you assessed that very well. Bo Nix stinks. Like this is
very bad. He was not good.
Bo Nix that we saw early on. Like he missed Sims down the sideline on what would have been a long touchdown. He throws a long touchdown to Sutton. Guess what? Blown coverage. Like we're back to these blown coverage touchdowns are what you need to be able to really move the football. The other touchdown for the Broncos, that was on a J.K. Dobbins drive. He has a 41-yard run and then a 20-yard run. That's how they get into the end zone. It's nothing that Nix is doing here. You got to flash the warning lights here. Everyone was talking about, anyone who was high on the Broncos was talking about the second year, the sophomore year leap from Bo Nix. That was coming. That was going to be the difference. There's no leap. He regressed, no. If anything, and he's got a very good defense that he is letting down right now because you need to play well at that quarterback position. Not overly impressed with the running backs here for either of these teams. We did see Omario Hampton take over the entire workload. That's going to be what's going to happen moving forward. Najee Harris pops his Achilles in this game, so he is done for the year. That was another key injury that happened today. Justin Herbert was so good in this game, Patrick. I don't know. Like some of the throws that he made, the last touchdown throw.
He was constantly under pressure, too.
He like threw it around a dude's arm, like sidearm, and zipped it 30 yards. Like,
it was great.
He was so good in this game. And I love the fact that this Chargers team is, for lack of a better term, just letting him cook. This is Justin Herbert's football team.
Yep.
They're not relying on the run game. They are relying on the passing game. And we talked about Quentin Johnston being a thing. He leads the team in targets, leads the team in yards. He is if Quentin Johnston is a legit outside threat and McConkey gets to run in the slot and Allen is healthy, that is a very good 1-2-3 at wide receiver with a very good quarterback throwing to them.
And speaking of the Chargers, we just saw half a football team in the Chiefs beat the Giants 22-9, and the Chargers are laying 6. I will lay it with the Chargers at the Giants.
Yeah, not the best spot because you
it's
have
not
to
a great spot.
Travel cross country. But yeah, it would be Chargers or pass at this number. Looks like there are some 5.5s available in the market. So if you want to go find a 5.5, you can go and find a 5.5. This was 5.5, 6 at the look ahead. So no real adjustment, which is shocking to me. Like we sure this is the same before we watch this two teams play today, because one beat a legitimate playoff contender in division and the other looked like garbage on national TV. So I would be surprised if we don't see at least some Chargers money here.
And double dip on Monday, Cincinnati at Denver. It's 7.5 with Denver. I want nothing to do with either of these two teams.
Yeah, look, maybe the over at 44.5.
Okay.
Maybe a teaser here with Denver down to a half point. But this is not a game where I'm running to the window, especially this early. I need to watch that Bengals game and figure out what I think about it.
471, the Saints at Seattle. This was very similar to what we were talking about with Minnesota, where the Saints just got mollywopped early and they never, ever were in this football game. You almost feel badly for Rattler and the team, but Seattle and Survivor, we all rejoice because I know you had about 27 selections on Seattle. It was never in question. 44-13 winner for Seattle.
Yeah, I was all in on Seattle. Every Survivor contest I'm in, every entry had Seattle this week. And honestly, this couldn't have gone better in that front, because I think you called it out. Like a lot of the reason for me was Rattler is going to struggle because he has to go on the road for the first time this year. You got to be outside, travel across the country, bad spot, best defense you faced. He had no prayer in this, right?
No.
I mean, you've got a block punt for a touchdown in this game. The Saints go down and score a touchdown on their first drive. Then they get a block punt touchdown. Then they're back in the end zone 2 plays later. Then they're in the end zone 3 plays after that. I mean, this was the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drives were all touchdowns. They ended with a field goal, 38 points in the first half. And I'm not going to sit here and say it was Rattler's fault. I mean, one of these drives was 11 yards because of a huge kickoff return, right? I mean, there was a huge punt return in one of these drives. It was nothing that this offense could do for the Saints. And so Seattle deserves to be upgraded because Horton, I think, stepped up as a wide receiver. Kupp played a little bit better. The running game, like Walker, was not great today, which was a little disappointing.
Smith and Jigba and so Darnold obviously have a connection.
Yeah, like Smith and Jigba hit the injury report with an illness yesterday. This is the flu game for him. And he comes out, he puts up 41 yards and a tutty on the first drive. He's over 80 by half, goes for over 100 in this game. Everyone knows you're throwing it to Smith and Jigba. There were 3 Saints running with him at one point on a 40-yard reception. He's just in front of all 3 of them. He's like,
I know.
What's up, guys? I'm open. He's so good, man. And this Seahawks team is, I think, a very, very good football team, a very complete team. I don't love them when we get to the playoffs. I'm not excited about Sam Darnold in these massive spots. But Sam Darnold with this team can get things done. They play Arizona on Thursday night. I already bet this game at +2.5 for Seattle. It reopened at 1.5. I would still be betting Seattle.
Love Seattle.
Yeah, we'll get to Arizona here in a second as well. They lose a key piece to this weekend, and they looked like garbage. Like,
they looked terrible. I love his defense. Very creative, Seattle, on defense. And you mentioned it's Seahawks +1.5 at Arizona. We'll get to that in a second. Impossible spot, and I mean impossible for the Saints. You just go up to the Northwest, and now you travel to Buffalo. It's 15.5, the Saints catching at Buffalo.
I mean, it's Buffalo or pass. Like, yeah. I would need 17.5 to get excited about the Saints. This is back-to-back road games, and now you have to play a dominant offense. Like, good luck, guys. I'm sorry. Like, I feel bad for the Saints almost. That's going to be a big decision in Survivor. Is going to be used Buffalo Week 4 or Buffalo Week 5, because both are difficult weeks if you exclude Buffalo.
So 473 is Dallas at Chicago. 31-14 winner. The over, what a – I was so heavy on that over, and there were, 38 points at the break, and it doesn't go over. A couple things here. Ben Johnson was in his bag. Ridiculous. Yeah. Just the flow. And you got to give Caleb Williams, that's as good as we've ever seen Williams today.
Yeah, Caleb Williams goes for 4 touchdowns if you're in the Chicagoland area. I think it's Wieners Only is giving away free hot dogs because he threw 4 touchdowns. So that's Tuesday in Chicago. Check out Wieners Only over there. Get your free dog. One of the most ridiculous flea flickers I've ever seen. Did you see the flea flicker?
I did.
The lollipop swift flew back to Williams.
Like, he had to jump up for it. Yeah.
He catches it. It's like, I almost think that the Cowboys thought it was a fumble. Like, someone punched it out. It was so high up there.
Williams, but Caleb was, he was dialed in. He was very good.
I thought I was impressed with the progression that he had in this game. He worked through receivers a lot better than I had seen him do before. He was accurate, or more accurate, I should say, than what we have seen in the past from him as well. We didn't have any of those backbreaking turnovers. We saw 4 from Dallas, 0 from the Bears. I agree with you. This was the most Ben Johnson-y game we saw.
Yeah.
Because he was like, hey, check this out. We're going to run a reverse. And then we're going to run a pass over here. We're going to run a flea flicker. We're going to have fun with this instead of trying to be conventional, which is not necessarily what he does. Dallas is in trouble if CeeDee Lamb isn't back. That injury looked pretty bad. Like, I thought it was worse than it was. I thought it was a knee thing when he left the field for the first time. If you didn't see it, he gets rolled up and his knee went a direction it's not supposed to. But it was an ankle issue. They taped it up in the blue tent, went back out there, tried to go MRI tomorrow. Keep an eye on that, because George Pickens, who should have then become the bell cow, ends up with only 44 yards when you've got Dak Prescott in there. He gets a 22 yarder late in the game with the backup, but this is a Cowboys team that does nothing well without CeeDee Lamb, and I am happy to fade them if we aren't going to have Lamb moving forward.
Can't do anything with Cowboys Packers right now. It's 5.5 until you hear about Lamb. I do think it's an overreaction with the Bears laying 1.5. We talked about that at the Raiders.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is, you see a positive from one team and you see a negative from another, and I don't think that tells the whole story here. I think this was a great spot for the Bears taking on the Cowboys, and it was a terrible spot for the Raiders taking on the Commanders today. So I think this is a much more manageable spot here for the Raiders coming into this game. So I do lean toward the over at 47. 47.5 are on the board as well. Let's go over 46.5 at PlayMGM. And then I like the Raiders and the points here.
Okay, Samo, 475. Arizona stinks. Arizona at San Francisco, 16-15. Somehow, someway, San Francisco, we know the soft schedule. They're 3-0. Mac Jones today, they don't cover the 1.5, but a winner. For me, coming out of this one, it's more about fading Arizona moving forward.
Yeah, Bosa goes down for San Francisco in this game, so another entry for the San Francisco team.
And did the thumbs down.
Yeah, thumbs down to someone in the crowd who I can only assume was obviously someone he knows well, and that's never a good sign when you see that go down. So we got to keep an eye on Bosa, see what he does. Huge injury for the Cardinals here as James Conner, serious injury. Everyone was on a knee around him. I would be surprised if we see him back anytime soon. No official word on what it was, but I would assume that's going to be season for Conner. This is just not a very good Cardinals team. I mean, nope. Like, Marvin Harrison Jr., His dad may make him change his name with how many drops that he had today. He dropped just a wide open 30-yarder down the field. He dropped one in the end zone for 30-plus yards. This was a brutal game for Marvin Harrison Jr. And Trey McBride needs some help. And you look at after that, it's like Zay Jones, Elijah Higgins. That's who else is getting the targets here. There's not much behind him. And Kyler just kind of looks bored at times. Like, he's just kind of like –
disengaged.
He's just Kylan her around and then just like throwing the ball up. I don't think this is a very serious Arizona team. Did a good job against McCaffrey in the run, especially in the first half, but they're still banged up in the secondary. Keep an eye on that. Heading into Thursday night, we had three cornerbacks that were on the injury report going into this game. Their best cornerback does not play. Max Milton does end up in the game. But Ricky Pearsall did not care. He goes 8 for 117 on 11 targets. He clearly is Mac Jones' go-to guy. And he's going to be the go-to guy as long as Jennings is not able to get back into this lineup. So keep an eye on Pearsall props moving forward.
And my guest Purdy returns. He almost came back for this one. And by the way, Thursday, Samo mentioned, love Seattle catching a point and a half at Arizona.
Seattle plus the points, tease it up, all of it. Like the I think they're a better football team. I think they should be favored in Arizona. We'll see what happens on Thursday night. But that's one where, like I said, the look-ahead games that I write for VSiN.com every Wednesday, Seattle plus 2.5 was on that list for this this week. And the other was the under in the Carolina and the New England game, under 46.5, and that reopened at 44. So check out that article. We're doing pretty good on the look-aheads.
And finally, Kansas City, 22-9 over the Giants. Kansas City – they are, I mean, the fact that they won this football game where, you know, obviously Pacheco maybe ran a little bit better than he has all year, but they absolutely have nothing. Kelce is a shell. This is a Mahomes, and the defense was tremendous. How much of that do you ding because of the Giants and Wilson where we started? But 22-9 winner and a cover for Kansas City.
Yeah, look, this was a Chiefian effort, one that we've seen over the last couple of years where they're just like, we're going to grind you down to a nub and we're going to make you make mistakes and we're going to take advantage of them. And you saw early, the Giants decide not to kick a field goal. The Chiefs kick a field goal. Then they get a second field goal. Then you get an interception. And all of a sudden, this is a 6-0 game with the Chiefs having the football. You did get the touchdown back, but you go into the half after some mistakes by the Giants at 9-6, and then the Chiefs just come out and score the touchdown at the second half, and then the game felt over. It just felt like that was too much for the Giants to be able to overcome when it was 16-6. Russell Wilson's cooked. Like, how bad is the Cowboys' defense if he threw for 450 on them last weekend? And then you see this performance where I don't think the Chiefs were, like, awesome on defense. I think Russell Wilson just stinks. Like, the last drive where – you have a first and goal, and you throw it away. And then second and goal, you run a quarterback draw. And then third and goal, he throws it away into the tunnel. And fourth and goal, he almost throws it through the uprights, literally hits the crossbar. It's like, what are we even doing here? Brian Daboll and Callahan in Tennessee are giving McDaniel a run for his first coach fired money.
Baltimore is going to be at Kansas City. Baltimore's in a terrible spot, obviously, because anybody that plays Detroit the following week, they struggle because they're going to beat the crap out of you. Same with Baltimore. Detroit's going to be in a tough spot hosting Cleveland. And right now, off the short rest, Baltimore traveling to Kansas City. Baltimore's 2.5 unless you have another number.
Nope, 2.5, 48.5. That was what the look ahead was. That is what we reopened at. Not surprised you're not seeing any adjustment before the Monday night football game. Not one I want to bet because I would probably be Baltimore pass. And I don't really want to bet Baltimore before we see them play this Monday night game in case someone gets hurt.
And speaking of Monday night, 479 Detroit's at Baltimore. So we were here last week, as we are sharp money every Sunday night, and it was 6. And you and I both said we're going to go sub 6, that key number. And it is 4 at Circa. It is 5.5 at FanDuel. 4.5 at DraftKings. This number is all over the place. I love Baltimore. 4.
My guy. Yeah, me too.
Find your love best Baltimore.
Find your best Baltimore number and play it. Total is a astronomical 54 in some
places. It's a crazy total.
You can get a 53 if you want the over. There's a 53.5 if you just want to get the middle number instead of taking the best or the worst of it. I don't really have a total move here, but I do like Baltimore quite a bit in this spot. You can find the 4 in a couple places online. You mentioned the 4 over at Circa as well. I think Baltimore's offense is going to be a real problem for this Detroit team tomorrow.
I do
night.
Too.
Love Zay Flowers from a prop perspective. I think he has a big game against this man coverage, one of the best in the NFL against man, specifically with the way that they use him in these spots. So like Zay Flowers a lot, like this Baltimore team a lot tomorrow night.
2023, Detroit fans will know this. Detroit was playing as well as they had in years, went to Baltimore, and were absolutely humbled. They just dropped 52 on Chicago. They ride in, and that had an impact on the number, 6-4. I love this spot for Baltimore. I think Baltimore may win by doubles.
I wouldn't be shocked, Patrick. I don't hate the idea of laying 9.5. We'll put it that way. Like, if you want to go
the little
alt action, 13.5, 9.5, and see if you can get some nice plus money on the Ravens, don't fully disagree with you there. I think that is definitely in play here.
Okay, we'll be back Thursday to get these adjusted numbers once they bake a little bit. I guess, what would you say the big narrative coming out of week three thus far would be for you?
To me, it's banged up teams. I mean, we're seeing injuries really affect the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They were really affecting the Cincinnati Bengals and what version of them we saw. We saw a very positive injury report for the Vikings, a very negative one for the Bengals. Now we're seeing guys like CeeDee Lamb go down, like James Conner go down. It is a very banged up league right now. I think you have to pay very close attention to the injury reports. The other thing is, if the defense can combine pass rush with a good secondary, there's like three teams in the NFL that have that. It is a very valuable thing because it makes it very difficult to be able to move the football, and you're going to create turnovers, which is going to create positive outcomes for your football team as well. So I'm looking for defenses that have a pass rush and a secondary. The last one would be like, there's some really good wide receiver ones, man. really good wide receiver ones out there. And Puka Nacua, and guys like Ricky Pearsall, and guys like Jackson Smith Ajigba that are ascending, that were not those guys that we would talk about a year ago.
I would say Cleveland is a standout for me. I thought Cleveland, and I didn't even think Green Bay was that bad. I just thought Cleveland was legitimate. I can't really take much from Minnesota today, though I do like the under in Dublin. I thought Vegas kind of showed improved in Washington. It's a weird thing to say when you're getting beat by close to 20, but a really tough spot for them. You mentioned injuries. CD, don't do anything until you hear MRI-wise. And then will the Bucs get healthy? If the Bucs start to get healthy, very dangerous.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is a 3-0 Bucs team that doesn't have their best offensive lineman, doesn't have their second-best wide receiver. Well, we don't know where Godwin fits, actually, in the hierarchy with the way Abuka's been playing through the
yep.
part of the season. But he has a groin injury as well, so he was on the injury report all week. You're going to get McMillan back at some point this year as well. This is a Bucs team that could be very good when they get healthy, and it could be one of those blessings in disguise, Patrick, because they've banked three wins. If you get healthy at the right time, you want to play your best football in December. This could be a team that's playing their best football in December because of those injury issues and them regressing back to the mean.
Also not buying San Francisco. If Bosa's out for an extended period of time, that 3-0 is a very soft 3-0, and I'll just kind of float that out there in the ether.
They probably should have lost to the Saints in week one, or to the Seahawks in week one. Mm-hmm. The Saints game was way too close for comfort in week two, and this was a bad Cardinals team in week three. Now, they get Jacksonville, but then they have to go on the road against the Rams and the Bucks in back-to-back games. I'm probably looking to fade this San Francisco team once they go on the road.
Great one tomorrow night. Can't wait for it. Detroit at Baltimore, sharp money. Rate, like, subscribe. Anything else, Samo?
If you're trying to check out what we look like as well, there's Sharp Money on the YouTube side as well. Have our own channel there. You can check us out in video. Hit the thumbs up button if you are watching to help us get out there. And make sure to hit the subscribe button as well so we can get to more eyes and ears.
And we will see you on Thursday. Sharp Money.